Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. It's the Mean Green Nation podcast, and headquarters is out here in California, in Berkeley, California. I know how to spell it, and yet I've misspelled it at least 12 times on the internet, you know, where the truth of life is. I am outside. It's a foggy kind of morning. It's cold. I'm cold. I'm outside of my hotel room because my kids are sleeping inside the hotel room, right? I'm joined through the magic of internet abilities by Aldo Ovini. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for joining us in the past over there. Yeah, 7 a.m. in California.
7:30 a.m. right now. Yeah. Time traveling, Adam. It's pretty amazing. So if you hadn't heard, North Texas lost at Cal. Well, so to me, it's here. I was here before them. They got here. And I'm here after they left. You know, they got a nice little chartered plane. They all left. They're over there in Denton now. So you're with the closer to the team than I am right now.
Lately. In more ways than one, yeah.
Yeah. You're also in what you consider the present, but I consider the past.
And then we've also got this emotional connection going, so there's that too.
Sweet. All right, just the headline, 23-17. Before the season, I thought, hey, we can beat this team. We'll probably win like 24-21. They got a good defense. We got a better offense. We'll overcome. I think I wrote strength and weakness in the preview while I was here, but I meant strength and strength. That's been bothering me in my head, and I haven't been able to correct it. I spent before and after the game. Like, you know, I did some stuff. I didn't hit any tailgates. There's not really a whole lot of like a tailgating scene that I saw. That was pretty obvious. And like campus, if you come at it from where we are, like it's east, right? So it's all the way on the other side of campus. So to get around it, you got to either drive and like navigate through everybody or walk it. We walked it because, you know, we just kind of picked a place to park. We were going to bus it, but I mean, again, you get kids and somebody drops a shoe and somebody's crying. I'm like, God dang it, who's going to drive? So like my feet are just in pain. Because I was just basically carrying sacks of tired kids, you know, just human weight upon your back across a hilly campus. A beautiful campus, right? If you're going to carry tired kids across any campus, you know, Cal Berkeley is not a bad one to do it in.
Might as well be a nice campus.
Yeah, I was like, well, look, that's what a nice view right there. Quit kicking me in the back. And then, you know, I keep walking. So that's what happened there. I picked us to win this game, and it was a very winnable game after last week's debacle and seeing some things on the defense and seeing some things on the offense. I was a little bit more hesitant to believe in our team's ability to win, you know? Is that a nice way to put it? And, you know, I think I picked 28-17 or something like that, 27-17. I didn't come too far away from that. It was 23-17. And, you know, as it was getting closer to that, my wife was like, isn't this the score you picked? I was like, dang it. Oh, no. I don't want to be right.
Well, there's a lot of parallels to last week as well. You know, the obvious one being SMU scoring up 21 points in the first quarter. But at least this time, you know, they had Cal had four scoring opportunities, maybe one more. I think they might have lost there was a turnover on downs. But anyway, four scoring opportunities. They came away with just two touchdowns and then two field goals. So I had predicted the score to be 40-something Cal, 20-something North Texas. So I wasn't as confident after last week. But again, with the parallels, second half of the game, North Texas was able to keep up with Cal. And this last week, it was almost toe-to-toe with SMU. You know, but you can't overcome that 21-point hole if you're just going toe-to-toe. And then this week, they were able to outscore Cal 14-3 in the second half. So there's some positives and negatives there.
Yeah, one, I don't know where you thought they were going to get 40 points from. I mean, the offense is pretty terrible. You know.
They didn't look terrible against us in the first half. So,
by the way, I have a habit now of saying the Golden Bears because I told my kid what their mascot was. I was like, oh, that's Oski the Golden Bear. And so she was just walking around saying, hey, Dad, where's the Golden Bear? And, you know, I just kept saying Golden Bears the whole time. So, yeah, the Golden Bears offense is pretty terrible. I thought, yeah, I mean, they're going to run it on us. I thought it was going to be a little bit. They're probably going to – they could score, but I didn't think they were going to score like that. And so while I am impressed, like, man, we held them to 3 points in the second half. We didn't get beat. We didn't make mistakes. We got off the field, right? Also, it's against that offense, and we did allow 20 points in the first half. But we got stops, right? That's what you want to ask for. I was getting concerned that the defense is going to be slipping too much and we're going to be allowing – as you said, just mistakes, right? Just mistakes all over the board, and we're going to have too many of those on third down. Like we saw on the first drive, right? Was it 3rd and 3, scramble for 19 yards, third down, have them, like, getting ready to kick a field goal, and then we just allow a touchdown, right? Because single coverage. I was yelling it from, you know, the double M section. Like, they know what they're going to get on offense. It's pretty, I mean, every coach kind of, you know, they do all this studying. You know what you're probably going to get. Like, third downs, they like to go, you know, two high safeties or something like that. They know what they're going to get every time. Single coverage across the board. North Texas is going to bring pressure. And, you know, they can pick their spot and say, who's their best one-on-one player? We're going to go up against their dude. And I think Michael Sanders is guarding somebody. I think Remigio said afterwards, like, yeah, we saw that he likes to bite on stick routes. So, you know, we gave him a stick route and we got open. And, I mean, there's not really much you can do about it. It's a tough gig. If, you know, they know exactly how you're going to defend them. They see all your tendencies on tape. And so they're just going to give it to you until you can stop it, right? That's what we said all the time. When Nate Brooks last year got beat on a double move, every team after that gave him a double move at least once a game. And they wouldn't be doing their jobs as coaches if they didn't do that.
There's a lot of discipline problems going on in the secondary. I felt like another example was Taylor Robinson. There was that touchdown where I think it was a corner route, and Taylor Robinson was over pursuing over the top, and then kept over pursuing over the top. You know, when receivers catch the ball on the sideline, they're taught to turn inside. Not turn towards the sideline, but turn inside. And so, you know, Taylor Robinson should have just, you know, slowed down and tried to hit the inside of the player rather than keeping him. I don't know what he was doing. He just over pursued and then he just ran in for a touchdown easily.
Yeah. And I posted a little GIF on this last week. And I think the general theme of it, because I didn't want to go through and point all of them, there's a bunch of them the same kind of way. A lot of it is, hey, good idea, good effort. But your brain's not in the right spot, right? Like, I know you want to fly through the gap, but we need you to maintain gap integrity and, you know, string the play out, you know? And the play I'm thinking about, I think it was Tyreek Davis, just flew in there. Xavier Gaines, it was a little gap run, so he was running to the left. And then, you know, where Tyreek Davis should have been is a hole he ended up hitting. And then he cut it up and broke a few tackles and scored a touchdown, right? That is just a missed assignment, right? Like you were saying, taking a wrong approach to the ball carrier. That's how you allow touchdowns. So that's how you allow bigger gains, because you can't always stop them from getting a couple yards, right? But you want to make sure they only get a couple yards. You want to make them be perfect the entire time. Oh, somebody else wanted to get on the podcast. They'll see going here. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to make them hit. Complete 10 yards, complete 10 yards, complete. I'm not even 10 yards, 5, 2, 3, 7, all the way down the field. And it's hard to do that, right? We've seen that, right? It's hard to get 12 plays, 12 successful positive yardage plays down the field. And that's what you want them to do as a defense. You know, we are getting better. I thought we did some good things against Garber. Garber said, yeah, we looked at the defense. We saw we'd have some scrambles. We saw we'd be able to run. So that's something we probably got to get corrected, because apparently we're leaving that open. And next week, hey, they got a running quarterback out there, UTSA. We talked about this. So I'm not too excited about that, but that'll be corrected. We can maybe get that corrected. And, yeah, we for three quarters, shut them down, only allowed 3 points. Unfortunately, we allowed 20 points in the first quarter. And he said it's 2 weeks in a row, right, down 20-plus first quarter. Let's talk about the offense. What does your gut tell you when you wake up? Do you think at least our offense is there and they can score touchdowns, or do you think, oh, what are they doing? Where's your gut tell you, and then we'll talk about what actually is.
So what my gut's telling me is that we are working our way up, that everybody's learning. They're doing some things to kind of get things rolling. You know, they are spreading the defense horizontally to try to open things vertically and trying to get Mason Fine into rhythm. And they're just not taking that next step of getting Mason Fine into rhythm. You know, we've got guys dropping the balls last week, this week. And that's difficult to keep a drive going. And when you're doing that multiple times, multiple drives, it affects the whole team. So we're getting there. We're just having a hard time getting into rhythm.
Yeah, I mean, you sound a little bit like a kindergarten teacher. You know, hey, everybody's learning. We're all getting better. We'll all make mistakes. No, I mean, I think this is like the NFL team, and I know it's not, right? I mean, but if this is like a team, I don't like the way this roster is built because it's unbalanced. We got seniors on one side, a lot of returning starters on one side, a lot of young guys on the other. And, I mean, it's nobody's going to go at their own pace. I'd rather everybody be young so everybody can make those young mistakes all at the same time. I mean, Mason Fine is a fourth-year senior. For your returning starter, I should say. And, you know, like, that should get you wins, but we can't fully take advantage of his abilities because we got young guys everywhere else, right? And I think we're missing some game-breaking talent. Like, Jair Shorter, he had young player-type game because he had a couple drops. I think what I said, he had two drops. Like, that drop was devastating. I tweeted it. I was not talking about the big one. I was talking about another one. But then I was like, I realized they were kind of confused. Someone was like, oh, yeah, that was a tough wide-open TD drop. And I was like, oh, yeah, I meant this last one. But, yeah, he had two or three. Like, obviously the big one everybody's going to remember is a wide-ass open touchdown in the end zone, right? You got to make that catch. It's a tough catch, but it's a Division I football catch, right, that you got to make. Wide open, you got to help your quarterback.
Yeah, you're here for a reason. You got to. That's what you got to do.
Yeah, those other ones, like the last one where, I mean, the final one is like 4th and 17, 4th and 19, something like that. Mason Fine is looking, sticking in the pocket, and then threw the ball down the field, hit Jair Shorter while he's being guarded by two guys. It hits his hands, and then he immediately gets hit by a safety. That is a tougher catch, and you can maybe make that catch in the NFL. I don't really look at him like, what are you doing? You got to make that catch. But we'll say this, and my coach always said, the ball hits your hands, you should have caught the ball. So wherever you want in that little spectrum there, you want to apply the blame game. Whatever. That's a tough catch. That's a next level kind of catch. And but the other one, wide eyes open, you got to catch that one, right? Like, I can forgive you for one. I can't really forgive you for the other one. But yeah, he's caught the touchdown pass, right? He caught it, a little skinny post. Made the catch, you know, went through contact, scored a touchdown, right? So, yes, that's great. There was also another one, like a two drives previous, I think, for that one. And, he dropped it. He just dropped it. I thought Mason Fine wasn't always seeing Deion Hare Griffin open. And I think, again, I mentioned this last week, I think some of this tempo-less offense and this, like, kind of broken rhythm is that he doesn't trust his receivers 100%. Yeah.
I think that's true, yeah.
It's just there's too many times he's looking, and where with another guy, he'd fire it. And with these guys, he's like, no, I can't throw this ball to this dude. I got to wait and maybe get him the ball in a perfect, perfect spot. And while you're waiting for perfect, perfect, you know, your rhythm's off.
You're getting stacked.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, again, I haven't talked to Mason Fine. I haven't seen anybody ask him this question, so I don't know. And I doubt he's going to say anything like that. He's probably going to get some coach speak, like, no, you know, we keep believing our players. Everybody's going to. But I think that's what it is, right? Because I've seen him just fire the ball to other dudes. And here, like, I think he throws Mike Lawrence some passes that you're like, oh, he's not that open. But he just kind of throws, he's like, go get it. Some of these other guys, he's like, no. No. Anyway, Jair Shorter played well, but he also played poorly. As I'm saying, it's like a young guy game, up and down. some drops, but some touchdowns. And I don't like that kind of game. It gives me anxiety. Like, oh, I want to just look at the guy and say, look, we have him. I believe in this dude. He's always going to make this kind of catch. And now I'm like, I don't know. I might be greatly disappointed by the outcome of this play right here. But, hey, you can't ask much more from your team to say, hey, defense, give me a stop when we need one, right? And the defense got two of those. Hey, offense, go get a touchdown when we need a score, right? Whatever happened, whatever play, whatever trick plays didn't work, whatever. Go get a touchdown right now. It's scoring time. They did one of two. They needed two because they didn't get it earlier, right? But they got one. They drove down, 4th and 7, scored a touchdown. Yes, and they also did a false start. And then there were, what, two drops? I think, I forget the next play was like a short play. Probably shouldn't have been there. I saw Deonhaire Griffin open over the middle. He didn't throw it. Next play, Deonhaire Griffin over the middle. He threw it to him. He dropped it. Next one, Jair Shorter threw it. You know, incomplete. We'll just say incomplete. I don't want to say anybody dropped it. It did hit his hands, though. And that was kind of the end of the drive. A little anticlimactic there. Overall, from the defense, everybody walking out there like, hey, number 15 is pretty good. Also, everybody, I got asked this at least 25 times. Hey, where in Texas is North Texas? Like, what city is it in? So I got an elevator pitch. I was like, yeah, Denton's about 45 minutes north of Dallas. It's all part of Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Much like Berkeley is only 30 minutes north of Oakland, you know, Denton is only it's a short drive away. It's all part of the same area, part of the same metroplex there.
Part of the Golden Triangle.
Yeah, they're like, oh, well, that's okay, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it's like a little college town up there, again, kind of like Berkeley. And then everybody kind of gets that. Like, okay, well, okay, thanks. I hope you had a good time. Enjoy the Bay Area. So that's my entire take on the game in the shortest form that I can muster. I have some hot sports opinions about the play. Like, hey, where was the tempo, man? Seems like we're just running the ball into the line when there's like the clock, you know, to the Chris Berman tick, 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 tick. Like, where's the tempo? Then we're not getting to the line quick. We're not running plays quick. You know, where is it? What are we doing?
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is not being able to get into rhythm. And the bright spots are that obviously the run game and the offensive line, the run blocking, those have been excellent. You know, there's not much to complain about there. You've got Trey Siggers, you've got DeAndre Torrey. I don't think we saw much of Easley this week. But, yeah, that is something that is not something we've had in the past. Even though we've had Jeffrey Wilson, we didn't have the offensive line. Now we have good running backs, a good O-line, and you know, against a team like UTSA, we can use that towards our advantage and allow the pass game to kind of get into the rhythm. So in order to keep churning out those first downs, you're giving the pass game more opportunities.
Yeah, you look at I think Army just sliced up UTSA in that game. Rice did a better job shutting down Army in that one. I don't know, I mean, but Rice also had all offseason to prepare for him. I mean, I don't know. Looking at UTSA, we can spend 5 minutes looking at UTSA. Here, 20 minutes into this episode, I don't know what to make of them, because they looked good against Incarnate Word, but it's an FCS team. They looked terrible, as my kid says. I don't want to be terrible. They did look terrible against Baylor. Baylor ran over them and threw them and like ripped their soul out. That backup quarterback was just like trucking dudes. I mean, it was kind of a delight to see, I must say. So this one, I didn't get to watch much Army, but from what I was looking at, it was close, right? But then if you're close with Army in a close game with Army, you're not really that close, because they don't care. If they're down 30, they're gonna run triple option, right? If they're up 40, they're gonna run triple option. If it's 7-7, they're going to run triple option at you. You know what I mean? Like, there's not a whole lot of difference in what they're doing. They just keep coming at you. And, you know, they always go for it. I was thinking about that. By the way, California Memorial Stadium reminds me a lot of the Cotton Bowl. It's just, like, nicer. It's like all of California. It seems like it was built in 1956 and hasn't been updated since. But it is in good repair. So, yeah, it reminds me of being in the Cotton Bowl.
Unlike the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, Cotton Bowl looks like it was built in 1932. And we just dusted it off for whatever game we're playing that day. Like, oh, yeah, it should be fun. Yeah, it should be good. Go ahead, get out there, you know? It seems like that. But, yeah, the reason I'm talking about Army is because we played Army. We remember what that was like. And I don't know what to make of this UTSA versus Army game. And, again, they played Baylor, a team that was vastly superior to them. And then they played FCS Incarnate Word, who kind of shot themselves in the foot, and they needed to kind of come out and like hit them in the mouth, and I think that's kind of what Eric Morris did. He took a big swing and a miss. It went for like a fourth down in their own territory. Nothing worked, and so they were just kind of playing behind them the whole time. So I don't know that we've seen UTSA, whatever they're going to be, but I'll tell you this right now. I don't trust their coach. You know, he always says the same thing, like, hey, you can't do the panic button or whatever. But he also has had three offensive coordinators in 3 years, right? So, I mean, this guy, I don't think that he's that good of a coach. I don't know what their offense is going to look like, but I know they got some talent. Was it their freshman, Sincere McCormick or something like that? He's pretty good. He got some abilities. We've seen them when they are fully operational. They got 400 yards against us, and they scored the most points or something like that last year in the Alamo Dome. We're at home. So I think everybody will be feeling good. But I made mention of this before, and I you can kind of see it in this one. Like, Cal's support team there, right? They were not that enthused about the game, and I thought this would happen. I thought that if their offense starts kind of getting, you know, sputtery, that there would be, like, a nervous energy throughout the crowd. And there was a little bit of that. You can see it, like, when North Texas got the ball, the crowd's like, oh, that little murmur kind of thing. Like, oh. It was nothing major, right? But it's just enough where you don't really feel a home field advantage. You look in the stands and people are just kind of like, ooh, you know? Like, but I think they felt a little confident because they was like, hey, our defense, which is our strength, on the field, right? That's where they kind of... If it was flipped, if they needed to drive and go score, there would be a lot more nervous energy, I think, because they're like, oh, geez, we need this guy Garbers down here. So when we go out there, I clearly remember this. It was a couple years ago. I remember when McCarney was the coach, and we were at SMU, and we got, like, a big turnover to start the game, right? We're all down in SMU territory, and our first play is a run into the line. And, like, the entire green section just groaned in unison. We all just went, oh, not again, this again. I don't want that to happen when we go out there and then we just kind of, like, have to punt or something like that. Or the defense gets sliced up. That could mess up our home field advantage next week. What are your thoughts on UTSA? And how are we going to beat them? Is it by 40 or 5,000?
You know, there's so many things there. We're in the middle. We're obviously not Baylor. We're obviously not Incarnate Word. And you know, we're not as good as Army. Army's pretty good, better than expected. But we can run over them, and I think that's going to be part of the game plan.
Where's your patriotism, son? Huh? Our Army's best in the world.
go Air Force. Yeah, I'm not athletic enough, so I'll do Air Force. I think that, you know, that would be the game plan to run all over them, and we're going to get some opportunities to pass against their defensive backs. And this is the confidence building game where Mason Fine can get into the rhythm with these young receivers. You know, I think Rico Bussey might be out of the equation if he didn't overextend his knee at best. He's torn something or nearly torn something in his knee. So, you know, I'm going to factor him out for the rest of the season, or at least for a long, long time. So that means Jair Shorter, Jalen Darden, who else am I missing? Deonhair Griffin, Michael Lawrence, and you really step up.
Greg White. Greg White was out there a bunch. He never got the ball.
Yeah, didn't catch the ball. But we should be fine. I mean, maybe not 40 points because I'm still a little antsy about the offense, but we should at least get into scoring range to get some field goals.
Yeah.
So 20.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. We scored 17, right? And I thought that's about, I mean, against a good defense like this. They have, senior defensive backs. Like, nobody was going to get beat easily, right? There's no freebies out there. I thought, you know, top of our game, right? Like, we get the benefit of a bounce, the benefit of a call. You know, they're a little bit surprised. We out-scheme them just, you know, because we used some clever. The upper limit's like 31, right? Just because of how good they are. And just like the little talent disparity, right? These are Pac-12 dudes. We have some talented G5 guys, but I don't know that you can just fully translate our entire wide receiver roster over. You know what I mean? So, and again, it's not knocking any of them. I think, you know, it's not 5-6 guys that can say, well, we just drop these guys onto Washington State and they'd be fine, right? It's like, and maybe one or two. You know what I mean? Excuse me.
I think part of it is, you know, the offense was moving, you know, with the screens or the passes to the outside, or the run game, you know, you turn up 7-8 yards and then there'd be that one play where the guy drops the ball and then the drive's over.
That's the deal that we didn't have was a couple years ago where we were making those catches. I mean, like, you can, what am I saying? I'm just going to mumble and make weird sounds like that all podcast. Enjoy it. Start from the beginning, right? A young team. We remember a young team. 2016, that first team there. You can see the outlines of the air raid. You can see how hey, look, they got a drive and they got all the way down, and then there would be a sack, right? It would be a young offensive line. False start, holding, someone gets sacked. Mason Fine to the wrong dude, whatever, right? Those are the kinds of mistakes. You like, they just got to have that next step. They're doing great on option one and option two. They're not ready for option three. The following season, they put it together. There was some weirdness. They couldn't do short yardage, this, that, and the other. But the pass game was amazing. A lot of that was because Jalen Guyton running deep, Rico Bussey on the left side, or Turner Smiley in there in the middle. Those are three options, right? Three dudes that can make some catches. Three guys that could take a ball, make a guy miss, and run. And then we had a NFL running back. Who's going to play today, right? Jeff Wilson is on the Niners roster. You know what I'm saying? Like, any, you had options, right? Here's a dude on the right that's going to be eventually on NFL practice squad. This guy over here is going to be all conference wide receiver. Turner Smiley had the talent to be all conference dude, and then we got Jeff Wilson in the backfield, right? Guys that can make plays. Where are those dudes now? Is what I've been saying all this season, right? Mason's fine, sure, okay, but you can only throw the ball, right? You can only make the read. You can only make the decision. What is it? It's the King of the Hill, right? Well, Troy Aikman can only throw the ball. You can't catch it for him either. Yeah, that's the deal, is that somebody has to get open, and somebody needs to catch the dang ball. And that's not knocking our dudes. That is saying that that's just stating facts, right? When you're a wide receiver, like, hey, what do you do for the team? I run a pass pattern, right? And I get open, and then I catch the ball, right? And then try to make a play afterwards. But okay, cool. How many catches do you have? I had zero because I dropped two. Well, seems like you're not doing your job. Yeah, you know, but I tried real hard. I mean, okay, cool. Cool, right?
You tried going out there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, okay, yeah. I'm not out there, right? I got cut long before it came time to it, right? I couldn't run the routes. But, yeah, that's the deal, is that, like, there's a line between, like, being insulting to them. Nobody wants to do that. I'm sure everybody's trying hard. But then there's also, hey, this is what we need from our football team, right? Right. This is where the coaches are coaching them up, and then they're recruiting them and doing all this other stuff. It's like, hey, this is what you got to do. And I think there's a lot of talent out there. I like Deion Hare Griffin. I think he, in my inexpert opinion, again, and I say that because I know somebody's going to say something to me, is that he's getting open. I can see him running some solid routes. He's not that big. So one of the Cal dudes is holding him on a corner route, and he couldn't really shake him off. But that's fine. He can get open. Yeah, he was open a few times. But he's not making those grabs. You know, his catch radius ain't so wide. And that's what you need, right? Like, a guy just makes some catches. Like, that catch shouldn't have been made. Like some Breland Chancellor stuff. Like, Breland Chancellor was small. He was quick. He'd get open, you'd make a catch. You're like, how do you make that catch? The other dude that was like a locker room cancer, he could make some catches also. That was pretty great.
I forget. Yeah, Carlos Harris.
Yes.
We've got a lot of guys coming up in the ranks, and that's not to say our current starters aren't good, but the guys coming up in the ranks are even more inexperienced. So you can't just throw those guys in there. Mm-hmm. You know, a guy with the bigger catch radius, just because he has a bigger catch radius, mm-hmm. it takes a while for them to develop. And like you were saying earlier about it's kind of unbalanced team. It's unbalanced on both sides. Like the offense is unbalanced. The defense is unbalanced. You've got some experienced guys like on the defensive line, yeah. and you've got inexperienced guys in the secondary. Same thing with the offense. You got experienced offensive line, running backs, inexperienced wide receiver core. And, you know, that affects the whole team. You got drives where Hamilton is sacking the quarterback or, you know, causing a disturbance back there. But then the next play they turn a 3rd and 11, run 12 yards and get a first down. So, and I think we're going back and saying the same thing over and over again, is that, you know, this is kind of a reloading year for North Texas. And again, next year we're going to have another reloading year. And that's just part of the roster management, mm-hmm. where, Seth Luttrell had to come in. We had 60 guys on an 80 something, spot or scholarship, roster. So they're down a couple dozen people, or maybe more, closer to a dozen people, that he's having to fill these gaps. He's recruiting his guys like Mason Fine, but then he's also having to pick up guys like EJ Ajia, and all these guys turned in and they were done last year. And now you're plugging these guys that you started from the beginning that, you know, are not as on paper talented as the guys that you're picking up this year or this past year. Now you can't start. They're too young. They're too inexperienced. It'll be a disaster if you did that. You're gonna hurt their
development.
Development, and that's where we are. This is the facts. Is he did a good job of bringing in talent early on. Now we got to let his high school kids develop. Now,
yeah, that's the deal. Is that if we would have got some also really talented freshman linebackers in here, freshman corners, freshman whatever, they would have been all hitting the senior year, upperclassmen years, these years. And, I mean, look, Tyreek Davis, he's a talented dude. You can see him flying around there, making tackles, chasing down dudes. That was great to see. You could see Katie Davis, same kind of deal. You know, just there's a lot of talent on there. Like, I like a lot of those guys. But you're not really seeing, like you said, putting it together, right? Dayton LeBlanc, I think he got a sack, right? Ladarius Hamilton got into the backfield. Like, Dayton LeBlanc is a, you know, recruit, right? This is the second season. And he made a play. He looked good out there. But, you know, what happened? What are we doing in the secondary? I think there was a sack by Ladarius Hamilton. And then the next play, there was a three-man rush. Garber stepped up, looked over, guy wide ass open. Just sat in the little zone. I think somebody misplayed it because he shouldn't have been that wide open. But, yeah, not to beat a dead horse here. What we'll say is that I'm proud of the effort. They came back. I'm not excited that they got down 20 points again. But they went toe-to-toe with a mid-tier Pac-12 team. I don't really think too much of California. And they might be ranked after this, which is, I think, undeserved. A lot of that just because they beat Washington. If we were the team that I think we could have been, like if the offense was producing at the level that we thought it would be producing, you know, day one of the season, I think that I would expect us to win this game, right? Because, hey, here's a team coming off a big win against Washington. They're at home. Everybody's feeling good, a little relaxed. You jump up, you stick them in the mouth, and you pull out a win, right? All that said, we were one drive away, and we talked about this before, that we were one drive away in 2017, a lot of games. And the difference between that season and this season so far is that we did that. We won those games, right? Down, I was looking at the, I was like, wow, we got balls at the 35. We're 2 minutes 51 seconds left in the game or something like that. I was like, that's a lot of time. It was a minute 51. I was texting my mom. She was like, hey, what's going on? She don't have Pac-12 network, whatever. So I gave her the situation. I was like, you know, 2 minutes left, 35-yard line. You know, it's our ball. We just need a touchdown. I was like, that's great numbers, right? You got it's 2019, air raid offense, throw the ball down the field, bop, 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 bada bing, bada boom, touchdown, right?
Yeah.
How many seconds did we do it in against UTSA with no timeouts and a 40-yard bomb we needed?
Yeah, and That happened. I had the same thought last weekend when we when SMU punted the ball to our 5 yard line or 3 yard line, and I was thinking, oh, we've done this so many times. You know, it's just another 95 yard drive for yeah. Mason Fine.
Yeah. I mean, so I mean, sometimes you know, sometimes you pass it to your best shooter. Right? I always use basketball analogy, right? You kick it out to your best shooter in the corner, and he loads up and lets it fly. And sometimes he misses, right? Nobody's 100% out there. And you live with that shot, right? You live with the situation, and you say, did we because there's a lot of stuff that's going to happen, and really, if everything goes right and we believe that their coaches are good, it's going to come down to one or two plays, and we want those plays to be our best guy with the ball in his hands, right?
Yeah, and who is our best guy now with Rico Bussi out?
You mean our best receiver?
I'm going to go Jair Shorter. Well, okay. Jalen Darden is really good, all right? So, yes. But
By the way, I called that in drunken fan style out there. This is just me talking right now. We had two runs to the left. It was like, I was like, all right, cool. Good job. It was like an 8 yard run or something like that. I was like, nah, let's do a play action. Let's throw it out here to Jalen Darden. He has nobody covering him. We do a little screen, little wide receiver bubble. They did it. They threw it to him. He cut up the sideline, touchdown. I was like, oh my God, I should be offensive coordinator out here.
Put me out there, coach. Yeah. No, and I get that, you know, and to the point of play action, I don't think we did enough play action, in this game. I think we could have, taken advantage of that. But a guy like Jalen Darden, we know he's good. So does Cal defense, and so they're going to do things to keep him away, or keep the ball away from him, which they did this game. You know, he only got 2 receptions. When in the previous games, he was getting 5, 6, 7 receptions.
We got 10 in week 1, and then something like 9 or 10 in week 2. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and so this offense is, this spread offense is going to go through the flexed tight end or the flexed or the slot receiver. And we heard about it all off season from everybody around the team. So that's why these guys are getting all these passes, but you know, Cal decided, hey, you know what? You're not going to beat us with Darden. You're not going to beat us with Lawrence or the tight ends. You're gonna have to beat us on the outside. And Rico Bussi can't do it by himself. You know, is there a guy that's going to step up and do this? And Jair Shorter, he got 5 passes. He had big drops, but he still got 5 passes, 5 receptions, 68 yards against this Cal defense. So it wasn't all bad. And I think once we level out with into conference play, where it's kind of even on paper, I think things will look less doomsday. I mean, heck, the offense has been adjusting well after the second half in the past 2 games. And it's a positive sign for the future.
So what do? We get Graham Harrell to script the first 15 plays for us, right? And then let Bode Reader adjust to those, because I think that's the perfect combination. Because last year was flip, right? We're like, man, we're coming out hot, and then we suck in the second quarter.
And with this past 2 weeks, the opposing offense just, you know, we go 3 and out, they score. We go 3 and out, they score. We go 3 and out, they score.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I don't think that say UTSA, right, that their MO here is same kind of deal as Cal. Like, they're not super talented. They don't have like a genius offensive mind over there calling plays. And you know, like, I think you look at that was what I was saying about Sonny Dykes, right? That maybe player for player, SMU is not world beaters talent wise. Like Shane Buechele, you can, you know, he's a good quarterback, cool, but I mean, is he that much better than Ben Hicks, right? Is he, you know, whatever. I think the point that stood out to me was that Sonny Dykes and was it Lachey, whatever his last name is,
Nick Lachey?
No, not Nick Lachey. But yeah, that he was, they're a good offensive brain trust there. And when North Texas was able to get some stops and slow them down in that second quarter, whatever it was, right, when we scored 14 points, they adjusted quickly. So what are they doing to us? Okay, here's our counter to that. And then they were just scoring again. You didn't really see that from Cal, right? We're like, with Darius Hamilton getting a sack, you know, we're shutting down a run game. You didn't see them adjust. You saw them go, okay, well, let's see if we can scramble. You know, that was it. It was just Chase Garbers just running around and scrambling. That's why they only scored 3 points in the second half. They never looked like, all right, they took away our jab, and now let's hit them with whatever, right? Let's hit them with the counter to this. I don't think that UTSA is going to be at that level where they're going to just adjust and say, oh, wow, we're going to shut them down, or we're going to see what they're doing defensively and adjust to it. We can get stops there, and that's going to be good for everybody. The offense is going to get the ball a little bit more. And, you know, Jalen Darden, yeah, let's get him the ball. Let's use him like Purdue uses what's that kid's name? I forget his name now. Rondale. Is it Rondale Moore? Yeah.
Moore.
Yeah, let's get him the ball like that, because I feel like he's always a play, a touchdown away, right? I think he danced a little bit, almost scored a touchdown on the punt return. There was like two guys he had to beat. But that's where we need to put him, in those positions. I think right now Deonhair Griffin probably is a duplicate of that, and I don't know if he's the greatest outside wide receiver out there. But I can see some good things. I can see why they wanted him out there. Hey, Greg White, we need you to make a play. One reason why I think that Jair Shorter played well, I mean, he's a big dude, right? Is that they said, like you were getting at, let's not let this dude, Darden, get the ball. And we like our corners out here, and we think they can handle anybody that they got. For the most part, they did. They were right. Right? Except for the times that Jair Shorter got open and, you know, caught the ball, scored a touchdown. But in the end, Cal was right. Right? They said, we can shut him down, and if you're going to throw the ball to Jair Shorter, you know, 25 yards down the field, when you absolutely need 19 yards, we don't think he can make the play. They were right. That's what happened, right? Same deal with the play previous with Deonhair Griffin. Same thing, a little skinny post. Down the field, can he make this catch? No, he can't. We don't think he can. We got single coverage on him.
Yeah, and I think Cal exposed some of that by scheming out the middle, forcing Fine to go outside. And, you know, that's the result you got is forcing these young guys to make plays. And it just didn't work out for North Texas. I don't think UTSA is going to be able to scheme out the middle like Cal did. And, you know, after this game, after this Cal game, everybody's probably feeling like, okay, we're going to go 1-11. after tomorrow, or after UTSA game, everybody's going to be like, oh, we're going to be 10-2. We got this before going into Houston.
Dude, the entire conference is terrible. Like, they're just, every team has a glaring weakness, like, just throughout the whole league, right? The only team, surprisingly, that looks like a juggernaut is friggin' Charlotte. Was it 49 points, 41 points, 52 points?
Heard it here first, guys.
Yeah, like, they're the only offense that seemingly cannot stop scoring. They're 50 points a game over there. Like that's really, and we play them, of course, the year that we
get at Charlotte.
Yeah. The funny thing about that team, is when they sucked, I was like, how come like UTSA get Charlotte, right? They get them at home, and we get Western Kentucky, right? Peak of their powers. We get Middle Tennessee, the other one that's good. Like, we never get the scrubby scrub squad on the other side. And so now we get Charlotte, and of course, they are just an offensive juggernaut and cannot stop scoring. So, good times for us, such as life, in Denton, which, by the way, is located 45 minutes north of Dallas, in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Golden Triangle. I'm not upset about this loss. I thought it was good. It was a great destination, right? Come out to Berkeley, sunny. I saw the weather was like 74 degrees at kickoff. It was great. I was in the sun the whole time, so I got a little tanned. But it was not like, oh, man, this is oppressive. I cannot breathe hot, right? It's just like, yeah, it's kind of sunny. I can probably step in the shade for like 2 minutes and come back out here and yell at Bodie Reeder for not going tempo. Yeah, I mean, it was a good time. I think everybody has had a good time. I'm going to go out and get some brunch with some family today. And, you know, do some other San Francisco type things,
Oakland type things. They do out there. You're gonna go around taxing people.
There's a lot of people said stuff like that. No, we went to, we saw the sea lions, right? I mean, I brought my kids out here, so it's like very family friendly stuff. Last time we were out here, my wife and I, you know, we drank, we toured that kind of life. Right now, we're doing like, where can we take the kids? Look, some animals. Look, there's a, you know, the boat. Look at the water. Oh, isn't it cool? Yeah. She watched Beauty and the Beast, like the 91 version, three times on the plane over here. And so she's just been saying, Dad, I want to watch Beauty and the Beast. And the Beast, he transforms into a king. I'm like, yeah. And so, I mean, this is kind of the...
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. This is kind of the kind of day I'm having out here. It's not like, yeah, I'm going to live it up and just go, you know, whatever. A lot of it is just kid-friendly stuff today. What was I going to say? I feel fine about this loss. Like, your gut, you feel devastated at it. I feel like it was a missed opportunity.
Yeah, I feel less bad about this loss than last week. I think last week we weren't just putting it all together. I think this week we are. You're starting to see that offense come together. You see how good that defensive line is going up against a Power 5 team. And so it's going to be disruptive in our conference.
Yeah, I mean, I am wary of saying things like that. Like all P5 teams are not the same, right? Like, Cal is not Oregon State, is not Iowa, it's not Iowa State.
No, but if you compare them, like, position to position, they're bigger, stronger, faster.
I mean, I don't even know that you can say that across the board all the way. I think it's just more like they have a few more of those guys, right? Like the top line dudes, I think there's a lot of similarities. I think it's the next level, once you go position two, position three on the depth chart, is that you have some questions. Like, position three at a G5 school probably cannot make a roster somewhere on a P5 school, but position three on a P5 school probably could be at least position two on pretty much any G5 school. You know what I mean? I mean, again, you look like cornerbacks, Harvey. Who else did we get? Planton, right? The left tackle. They were P5 guys, and then they dropped down their starters over here. But then you got like an Alec Morris, who is, you know, fourth level guy, and he can come down and drop and then start for a little bit and get beat out by a freshman. It's always down to the individual, but I just think generally speaking, the third level guys is what matters. I mean, so practically speaking, what does it mean? It means every week they're going against competition that can play at the level they're playing at, right? In practice, you're going up against a guy that's really talented. At a G5 school, your first line guys are going against guys that maybe can't do the job, right? So it's not sharpening them up. It's not making them stronger. It's not making them better. So, you know, that's kind of the question right there, right? That's the difference, I think. I just want to say, I'm wary when I say, that P5, so therefore we can do it. Just like, yeah, Cal has a good defense, and so I'm glad that we saw them run the ball against a good defense. I'm glad that we saw some opportunities in the pass game in there. Against their offense, which is terrible, I'm like, whatever. Garber's not that great of a quarterback. There were a lot of opportunities, and he didn't really do too much. He scrambled around, I guess, like without a purpose.
Sounds like you're saying garbage.
More like garbage, or I would say trash. They say garbage in the... My grandma says garbage. She's from Michigan, right? You know, you ain't done in the garbage. You get a pop. I'm like, what? What are you saying to me, grandma? Speak the King's English, grandma. No, I don't say that. I feel like it was a missed opportunity, but I mean, look, Cal. I'm not overly impressed by Cal, but for the purposes of polling, yeah, hey. 7.6 point loss to a top 25 team. I don't know. Did they get top 25 yet?
I don't know. I just woke up and had breakfast.
You don't check the AP top 25?
Doesn't it come out tomorrow?
I don't even know, dude. I thought it comes out today.
Yeah, because we're never on there. I never check it.
Yeah, me either. Yeah, I mean, whatever. Like, I'm just talking on the top of my head right here. I don't know that I'm not that impressed by Cal. I don't think we should stake our reputations on them. I mean, it's the same way as like Arkansas. It was great to be Arkansas. It's always great to be SEC team. It's always great to be the old Southwest Conference team. But I mean, dude, people walking in, they don't know who North Texas is, right? And everybody that's a North Texas fan says, you know, isn't that commie country? There's not a whole lot of interaction between these two schools, so it's just kind of like, are they good? Eh, we don't really care about Pac-12 teams. Is what I'm getting at. So, what are you gonna do?
In general, that's true. Yeah, but yeah, it looks like Cal might be ranked 21, according to a pre-release.
There you go. That's the silly part is that because they beat us ranked 21, right? But if Mason, let's say Garvin Jair Shorter makes a grab, breaks a tackle, sprints down the field, scores a touchdown, we win the game. Where are they ranked now? Yeah. They're going to be unranked, right? And we don't get that credit for beating them. I mean, were they not that good? All came down in one play, huh?
Yeah, we had the opportunity to beat them, but we just, in this new offense, churning out a new roster, it just didn't happen for us.
I still believe in the Mean Green, right? As far as, hey, was this a year where we going to make national headlines? Is Mason Fine going to win Heisman? That was always going to be a question mark, right? Because just a big ask. There was so much there. Like, you lose a weapon on offense, but you know, like, everything needs to happen. Like, he needs to score. Everything needs to be put together, and we really need the defense to step up. Defense didn't really step up week two, and the offense is poor. Offense is more about what I expected them to be. Like, I expected them to struggle in this one, right? I expected, they're talented, so you know that's why he threw an interception. But I thought Mason Fine threw an interception because what were you thinking there, right? That was a terrible throw. Should have just ate the sack and said, I don't know what he's doing. So the subtle difference there is that the offense is a little bit worse than I wanted them to be. But like you said, they are getting better, right? Hey, I'm excited about Trey Siggers. I want to see him run the ball 20 times a game. And, I mean, we just need one guy to step up. Turner Smiley, I keep talking about him. He didn't have a great first half that season. Then all of a sudden, second half, he was just a monster. You know, making catches. He's just outrunning everybody, but also taking short stuff long. So we just need a guy like that to step up, right? Who is it going to be? I don't know. That 2016 year, there were some guys that were the starting receivers, didn't finish as the starting receivers, right? And we had other guys step up. It can happen, right? Rico Bussey didn't shine until the bowl game even, right? Just a lot of stuff like that can happen. There's a long season ahead of them. They don't finish up until November, and we're mid-September right now, guys. So I still believe in the Mean Green. I don't think that Conference USA is that good. Very terrible. Very awful conference this season. You just look at some of these scores like, ugh, were we even playing these games? So I feel good about it. I feel good. But disappointed. Is that a good feeling to have?
Yeah. I mean, again, I feel so bad against the SMU game.
Yeah.
After the Cal game, I was like, oh, you know what? Not bad. Not that bad.
Well, everybody turn up. It's a rivalry game. Hey, here's another test for a rivalry. They're showing the scores up there. And you can tell how many games I've been to in Texas where usually they show scores from around the state, right? You see Texas A&M, Texas, whatever, stuff from the conference. But they're showing a bunch of Pac-12 games. I'm like, I don't care about no Oregon State. Who cares what they're doing right now, right? But then they show BYU beating Stanford. And then the whole crowd, like, rah! Like, that was the loudest cheer of the game. Not even when they won, when they scored a touchdown, when they intercepted the ball. It was only when they showed Stanford getting whooped up by BYU. So, there's your litmus test, right? At the at Apogee, when we're showing scores up on the board, when they show that UTSA is losing, does the crowd get hype? You know, does the crowd say, yeah, that's what I'm talking about? Like, who do we care about? It's kind of what matters. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we're done. Next week, UTSA at Apogee. Do we have a game time for that one yet? Is it going to be 6 p.m. or something?
Most of them have been at 6 p.m., scheduled for 6 p.m., but I'm checking right now.
So while he's checking, don't forget to subscribe, to hit the like button, et cetera, etc., all that good stuff. Let us know. Give us your feedback. Read the site. All that good stuff. What time is the game?
So 6:30 p.m. You got UTSA, who's 1-2, going up against North Texas at 1-2.
Dang. Powerhouse matchup. It's a conference opener, though. Like, I mean, if you're like, oh, you know, what does all this mean? The great and the terrible thing about non-conference, right, is that it doesn't mean anything. The great thing about non-conference is that it doesn't mean anything, right? Like, for North Texas, right, if they want their, they had outside hopes of being, you know, having a Heisman candidate and making national recognition. Well, when you go 1-2 in non-conference, you don't get that, right? Get the G5 and then a P5. You don't really get that, right? But last year we were 3-0, right? We had just beat Arkansas. We know what that feeling's like. And you know what it got us? Nothing. We didn't get no trophies for it, right? We didn't get no conference title. We didn't win a bowl game, right? So these two losses in non-conference kind of hurt our bowl chances a little bit, right? But again, to me, we've been to a bunch of bowl games. We haven't won them. There's diminishing returns going to another one. We need to win a conference title game. And this is our best shot, right, for the foreseeable future, unless Jason Bean turns out to be a monster. Mason Fine, final year, senior quarterback against a down conference. The season starts next week. Conference play, right? We need to go 8-0 again. And there's no reason to. I wouldn't be surprised if we finish at any different record there because, again, this league is up and down. Any given week, anybody can beat anybody because, you know, who knows what the hell's going on. But
yeah, I mean, Southern Miss might be good. La Tech might be good, but they've been so inconsistent, or any team had been so inconsistent, and anything can happen. Yeah. I will point out Charlotte is going up against Clemson next week.
Ooh. Well, there we go. Just hope that they get hurt by all the Clemson guys, and then, you know, we don't have to deal with the juggernaut that is Charlotte.
Sure. 49ers.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're done. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.